You are listening to The Business Growth Toolkit, a series from The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards in collaboration with Innovate UK Edge.
Hello, my name is Matthew Childs, and this is The Business Growth Toolkit, a series from The Standard Show in collaboration with Innovate UK Edge. Innovate UK is the UK's innovation agency, and Innovate UK Edge is a key part of the agency's deep investment to help innovating businesses grow and scale, supporting them with tailored advice on becoming investment ready, internationalizing, and managing how they innovate. In this series, we're looking at the relationship between standards and some key business issues, with particular relevance for SMEs. This episode of the series is on collaborative business relationships, and our guide is Adrian Miller from the Institute for Collaborative Working. Established in 1990 by the UK government and industry, the ICW helps organisations large and small in both public and private sectors to build and develop more effective business relationships based on collaborative working good practice. Adrian is a standards maker too, developing standards in the area of collaboration, and in particular the ISO 44000 series, international standards for collaborative business relationships. Before we hear my conversation with Adrian, a reminder that you can subscribe to The Standard Show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get in touch and find and follow us on social media too. All the details are in the show notes. So, Adrian Miller is Membership Services Director at the Institute for Collaborative Working. I started by asking Adrian, what is meant by the term collaborative business relationships, and why does it matter?
In an increasingly complex world where businesses can't do everything, they are highly reliant on either organisations in their supply chain or partners with a different capability, you need to rely on others and you need to work closely with them. We don't mean cooperate, we mean collaborate. So there's a level of integration there. There's a level of potential dependency. And that's why when we talk about the standard, that becomes clear why certain rules of engagement are helpful when you start to work that closely. We see a lot of sentiment around collaboration. Lots of people say that they collaborate. In business, we use the word structure, and that's where the standard helps. The standard isn't the only way of demonstrating structure. It's where you're able to demonstrate that you can sustain and ensure that you're getting value out of your relationship. So the term isn't new, but is it being used in its right context for when you genuinely want to collaborate in business? We believe that is proven if you're able to demonstrate that you meet the requirements of the 44001 standard.
Now, you're teasing us there with 44001, and we want to come to that because it's going to be the heart of this episode of The Standard Show. But before we do that, you are a standards maker. You've been intrinsically involved in the development of this standard. But what's been your standards journey? How and when did it start for you, and where are you now?
So I used to work for an organisation called NATS, who are the UK air traffic provider. And NATS collaborates across a number of different areas, but in particular where I was involved, it was in the supply chain, where we were working with technology suppliers. So NATS is an operator, and although it has experts who know and understand technology, with the fast moving changes and the need to constantly upgrade systems, you want to have very close relationships with those organizations that are providing your technology and who will be almost embedded in your organization to help you change and evolve and keep that technology operating and safe. So that's where I started, by when we recognized that actually you could use at that time. It was in 2006, there was a PAS 11000 that BSI developed, and I became part of the committee that developed that PAS, and it helped NATS to demonstrate to its regulator that it was working to use more rigorous and formal techniques to ensure that they were working as effectively as possible with their suppliers. That PAS evolved to be to a British standard, BS 11000, that became quite well used in British industry, and then ultimately it became an international standard, which was called 44001. ISO 11000 was already a number that was taken, so we used 44001 just in case you were wondering.
We do love our numbers in the standards world. So 44001 then, Adrian, what's the standard all about?
I mean, those that know standards know that ISOs are do follow a familiar set of clauses and requirements that start with the context of your organisation and work you through application of the standard. Well, where 44001 is particularly novel is that sitting in the middle of it is an operational piece that demonstrates how you would, as an organisation, set yourself up to be able to work collaboratively, how you would then assess who you're going to collaborate with, and then how you will manage and maintain that relationship. And ultimately, there is a part of the standard that says, how would you disengage? It's not necessarily designed for ever, even though the idea of collaboration can often be long-term enduring relationships. But it also, the standard also helps you address how do I set myself up to disengage, typically sometimes by mutual consent, but the premise is that you are able to build the relationship on the basis of what might happen, what might change, that would mean that the relationship may no longer be relevant, and how do we work together to address both organizations' issues around that.
Now, in a second, I want you to take us inside the standard and sort of walk us through some of the key features. But before we do that, why was it developed? You know, to what problem is the standard the solution?
I think I'm going to use a bit of a shall we say, an industry example. So you may recall that at one point, all of a sudden, outsourcing became something that organizations saw as a very convenient way of concentrating on core business. So lots of organizations said, why would I be worrying about my IT systems when my core business is selling product? I can just use an organization and outsource my IT. Well, lots of organizations got into big trouble with that because they didn't look carefully enough at the implications of that, the high risk of that, and therefore most sensible organizations would now see as an area where they ought to have some sort of partnership or collaboration in order to deal with what essentially is a key component of operating, they missed that. So one of the aspects of the standard was, how do you think deeply about when you're going to work closely with an organization, what are the key challenges there? And that's as much about opportunity as it is about risk. But certainly in the bad experience of outsourcing, organizations realized that they needed to perhaps adopt this structured approach and understand, working with the other party, assess the challenges that might be faced during both setting up, running, and then disengaging from a particular close-knit business relationship.
So obviously, Adrian, standards are all about, you know, consensus building and collaboration themselves. So what's it been like working collaboratively on a standard about collaboration?
What people assume that collaboration is nice handshakes, lots of smiles, and everything is about consensus. Actually, collaboration can be equally challenging in the same way that any other forming any other business relationship is. So, in the committee, there you would find that some people had a particular view about what should what the outcome should be. So don't get me wrong, we always came to a good outcome, but there was just as much challenge. And I think it's really important to say that collaboration can be about challenge. If there's no healthy challenge, then there isn't any grounds to transform anything, to improve anything. And the key thing about collaboration is you do it because you get a better outcome. There is more value in working in that way than if you just were to have a transactional and arm's length type of arrangement.
A lesson for us all there, I think, Adrian. And to get true collaboration, you need that challenge, don't you? So take us inside the standard then. What are the key features of 44001?
One of the things that is really important is how a key artifact is what's called a relationship management plan, and that kind of, in effect tells you takes you on a journey through the standard of why you're wanting to collaborate, what your policy is, are you set up to do it, and that sort of journey is how the standard operates. There's a kind of strategic phase around do I have the capability and the intent to collaborate? Then there's an engagement phase where you then start to think about who am I going to collaborate with, how effective are they, how do I select them? And actually at that point you turn your own relationship management plan into a joint relationship management plan for working with the other party, and then that other party, you then go into the management phase where you're managing the collaboration. The key thing is who's out there that you can collaborate with. You with the best will in the world, if you're intent on collaboration yet there aren't any suitable partners, you're in a difficult place. The great thing about the standard 44001 is it will tell you who is collaborative, because they will also have already adopted the standard.
So obviously, Adrian, it's great. Obviously, we lots and lots of standards have been developed over the years, and they're all, you know, providing solutions to particular problems. And it's no different here for 44001. But I suppose the key thing is about organisations using it and the benefits they actually get from using it. So why, you know, how do organisations go about it, and what benefits do they get from using 44001?
I know that Babcock, for example, work very closely with the MOD at Devonport. They have adopted the standard. That's a great example of ensuring that through 44001, they're able to align with their customer and understand that they want and use the standard as their framework for engagement. We've got other examples where organizations who have close customer relationships use 44001 in the facilities management arena. One of our members, MCOR, are very strong on customer focus, and I think a very common theme is where organisations work with their supply chain to collaborate. I've mentioned NATS, but they're by no means the only customer organisation that do that. Network Rail have worked with their supply chain closely to embed better ways of working through collaboration.
And what is it about this particular standard, you know, working in the supply chain there? What benefits does 44,000, particularly 44,001, bring that other standards might not?
The key for collaborative working is, are you generating value? If you're not getting value out of the relationship, then don't do it. There might be an easier way, because it does require, collaboration does require time and effort. But the idea is that you would get more benefits from working closely than if you were not consulting with each other, if you were not sharing with each other, if you were not thinking about risk together. These are the key areas. You are able to be to start to go into much more depth about shared problems, or even how can you help me solve my problems, because the other party is invested in that type of approach to gaining there's an assumption that both parties in the long run will benefit from value-driven outcomes. If you're solving a problem for your partner, then at some point there will be an opportunity for that to be reciprocated.
So I'm just thinking, Adrian, are there any other standards that are relevant here? You know, any other standards that complement 44,001?
Actually, think of 44,001 as an enabler. Think of how you work, how you collaborate, as being an opportunity to open up benefits, and that's where we can link it to a number of different standards. So innovation, 56,001 innovation is a good example, because if you're able to work closely with another organization, you will increase the opportunities to innovate. That kind of external innovation versus what you can actually do just internally, it is incredibly powerful. But we've got a number of examples where we believe that collaboration or 44,000 are the enablers. So business continuity is another example. We've mentioned social value. There is a BS. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there is a social value standard that the BSI have introduced. And then there's the sustainability that we've mentioned. So there's a whole range of what we could consider to be business challenges, where the introduction of 44,001 can support and help your potential outcomes.
Just turning to SMEs specifically, I'm just thinking, you know, why in your view is collaboration management particularly important for SMEs?
I think it's gaining importance, and the reason for that is, if you start to see your prime contractors collaborating more, then SMEs want to be part of that and join that and want to show their credentials. Equally, there's a kind of a growing growing thinking around how smaller organizations can join together in ecosystems. And if you're doing that sort of close working and becoming highly dependent upon each other, then you will want to be able to collaborate. So I think there is an increasing emphasis on any type of business collaborating. And I think SMEs view themselves as collaborative by nature, but I think that there is still the opportunity to demonstrate that through a sort of structured approach. And there is actually so. We've mentioned 44,001, but there is an SME version that is 44,003. So that that is a way of an SME looking at what are the key principles that I need to think about and adopt to demonstrate that as an SME I'm collaborative.
So putting yourself in the shoes maybe of 8 and other SME, you've mentioned there that sort of many SMEs may think of themselves as collaborative by their very nature. But if they wanted to do more, maybe more collaboration, what's the first thing you would advise an SME to do when thinking about doing more collaborative business relationships?
I would suggest that they take a look at 44003. It mirrors the standard in the sense that it picks up some of the key themes and some that we've mentioned around are your vision and values right? Do you have collaborative objectives? Do you have collaborative leadership? Are your behaviours right? What are the things the areas where you think you might be able to get benefit, i.e., I think we talked about value creation, risk, managing risk, your appetite to knowledge share and share information. Now, that's an interesting area because some SMEs feel vulnerable there. The standard is designed to ensure that where you have a relationship, you agree the boundaries of what you can and can't share, what will improve your relationship, and what might be a risk to your relationship. But I think the key thing is there, you have a very open dialogue with the parties you're going to be working with. I just should throw in here, some people might say, oh, why don't you just do all this through contracts? Contracts are important, but they often don't address many of the relationship aspects of how you want to work together. They typically come down to the rights and obligations rather than how will we work together in much more detail. So that's where, when I mentioned earlier the relationship management plan, that's where that comes in. That's a kind of layer on top where if you've got a joint relationship management plan with a partner, that goes into more detail about how you want to work together to do things that could actually be beyond the contract, but you have an arrangement where you can develop your relationship more effectively. If a large organization wants to be seen as SME friendly, I would thoroughly recommend that they read and adopt 44004.
So Adrian, you are obviously a standards maker. You've worked at national and international level. Now, on the Standards Show, we are always encouraging people to get involved in standards. I just wonder what advice you would give to others who may be thinking about getting involved in standards.
I can only say that it's always been a very enjoyable endeavour for me. Of course, it's a subject that I've been very interested and passionate around for a long time. I think I said to you, 2006. The years are clocking up there, and that's been a continuous engagement where you get to be part of something that you can be proud of, that you can hopefully bring back to your business. But I was always lucky because that was always my role, but also as for me, it's led to me opening up other avenues. I continue to be. I'm the chair of the ISO 44001 committee. Now. That's in an individual capacity. I'm not doing that for the ICW. That as chair, my role is independent. But you meet some great people. BSI are a great organisation to work alongside, and you achieve something, and you make a difference with what you produce. I would recommend anyone getting involved because it's as I said, something that makes you can be proud of and makes you feel good that you've achieved something I think important.
My thanks to Adrian Miller for sharing his insights on standards and collaborative business relationships, and ISO 44001 in particular. For more information about this standard and other issues raised in this episode, including how to get involved in standards, and for details of other episodes in the series, then check out the links in the show notes.
You have been listening to The Business Growth Toolkit, a series from The Standard Show. Subscribe to The Standard Show now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.